advocate duty to let out on Bob and see what they do.
Oh, to invite him?
Did anybody say to invite Kimberly?
Do you want me to? I think she probably knows about it, yeah.
Did you ever write her?
Oh, yeah, she's not.
Of course, everybody in.
On the block.
Well, I don't know if she knows about it. She probably heard about it, has it, but I don't see anybody that said anything to her.
I'll see.
We'll tell her to stay in her room.
We're gonna start studying the details of the sin and trespass offering now. We're gonna spend some time in Romans. Let's go to Romans 3 first. To me, it was staggering. We just mentioned it when we met yesterday that in the in God's dealing with all of the forefathers in Egypt, there was no sin or trespass offering. They gave burnt offerings and peace offerings, but never a sin offering. And so, let's see if we can understand why. So in Romans 3, verse 19. Well, let's go. Let's read this other thing that sort of sets the stage. In verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now,
that's the fall.
Right, and that's, unless you see that's you and I after the flesh, then we have no, there's no reason to say anything else. There's none good, there's no not one. There's none righteous, not one.
Wow. The last part of 19 where it says all the world.
Well, that's what we're about to get there. You read ahead. The first predicate of this is not to read ahead, it's to understand that from 10 through 8 through the 18 is you and I. Can that sink in? Because if you can accept all that, then you can't possibly have a right opinion. You can't possibly know anything about truth. Now, this is something that it's as big as it gets in your apprehension. Because without this, there's no reason to study the sin or the trespass offering. Don't you secretly believe you are a little more righteous than somebody else? Some not so secret.
Do you mean sin offering or trespass?
Either one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Anybody want to discuss that?
The point, partially, is that whatever you do is self-seeking.
So, all right, then, now what, I pray that that's apprehended, or everybody's apprehended by that.
I mean, this is the great equalizer, and then it makes the whole thing of, you know, that parable where there's the servants that only work for an hour get the same wage as the person that works for the whole day.
Amen.
It's because, you know, there's no gradations of sin.
So what do? We rank sin and we rank trespass, and much of the church does. They teach that they're venial sins and cardinal sins.
Yeah, but I've been saved. I can hear that someone say, yeah, that's what it is before you're saved. And then once you're saved, they think, oh, that's different about yourself. Now you're sanctified.
Because they don't believe in the Holy Trinity. They believe in the whole unholy quartet. Right. As long as you're in the picture, then you can continue to have your opinions. You can continue to have your judgments. And you will, and just, I mean, I can't tell you how evil it is to rank sin. I told you about that, what was on that talk show, and it was in a restaurant, and I went in there, and everybody looked a little strange, and it turns out it was the first question. It was a thing from the audience, you could ask questions. And so the first question was, Mr. Anthony, what do you think about gays or homosexuals? And I said, I don't think anything at all about it, because it's no more evil than, from God's standpoint, than a white lie you tell. And that's hard to comprehend, because even if we haven't been taught it, the nature of man would be to rank sin and rank trespass, rank wrongdoing. Surely Hitler's better than, I mean, worse than, because that's always the question that's asked when you start. Well, what about Hitler? Well, he's no better or worse than I am. Do you really believe that?
No. Sorry.
You understand, from a spiritual standpoint, withholding is hate, withdrawing is murder? No, I mean, it's not just of that.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. I understand the content. I understand what you're saying. And understand that you can't rank sin.
So you have to take it to the extremes.
Huh? There's always a but.
Well, but that's why, again, in this, the whole issue of being, of the sanctification, is that you would take everything to the extremes.
Just like in your little description, I'm not picking on you. You talk about going to see this, you go and speak to this group, and you just said, they all were a little different. I knew something was up.
Well, it wasn't a genius.
The first question was about homosexuality.
It didn't take a genius to see that.
What is that about?
Why is it wrong to be gay?
Well, that's an opinion. Mm-hmm.
There can be no description of something without an opinion. No, it's not an okay, John. The only thing that matters is truth, and truth is something that doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. So we have to extend everything to the ultimate. We have to expand the tent. That's what the whole thing about. Expand the tent pegs. Lengthen the cords. You lengthen them to the point that you test everything, whether any opinion, any idea has any merit, has any
no problem with it. I have no problem with it. I agree with that. I'm there with you on that.
Anyway, verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall there no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, what happens? That's why there was no sin or trespass offering in Egypt. Because the law hadn't been given. Now, let's look at another one. Go to Romans 4.
I'm stuck on the gay thing. I'm just seeing why gay people want to be married. I think this just came through. Is that if they're not married, the marriage thing kind of sanctifies the relationship, and they're not in sin because they're married. And there's a great push to get the marriage thing okay in that community. So if they're married, they're not living in sin.
Well, they don't even, 99% of the people don't even think whether something is sin or not.
I mean, gay people might.
No, I don't think that's their issue with it.
That's pretty much a blanket statement.
The rights you have as a couple, as a married couple.
Well, that's one aspect, but we're talking spiritual stuff here. And there's something very significant about the marriage, because I mean, you can be boy and girl living together, and you know that something's wrong. We've got to get married to make this okay. So there's a inbred consciousness of sin.
Well, first of all,
and so the white lie versus being gay, it's the same thing. It's not from God's point of view, because it's separation. You tell a little lie, murdering your whatever you're doing. It's hard for human beings not to grade sin because they're not seeing how God sees.
Well, again, what's important is, first of all, the Bible isn't written to the world. It's written to the church. The Bible isn't a science book. It isn't a history book. It isn't even an ethics book. What happens is when man takes the Bible and tries to make it the law for the world, and that's what we got the extremes of it in Sharia law.
And then there's fights because they're trying to squeeze God into the world system, and he'll not be squeezed.
I understand that, but do you understand that every one of us tries to do that? It's the way we have of justifying. That's why the predicate of this is all what we read, that there's none good, there's none right, there's none. Nobody cares what somebody's opinion is or something. I mean, people appear to care because of elections and all the fights, but in truth, they don't really care what you think. God certainly doesn't care what you think.
A lot of people live their lives according to what other people might be thinking.
All right. Well, let's go. We're now down to Romans 4. Well, let's just start in verse 13. For the promise, this is talking about Abraham, that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Now, you have to see that in the history of Israel, but you also have to see it in you. I mean, who could have possibly conceived that wanting whatever, where, and whatever you're doing to be different than it is would be called lust? Thou shalt not lust. So what many people do in many religions, they try to gain righteousness by keeping a portion of the law that they think they can keep and ignoring everything else so they can feel righteous about doing X or Y or Z. I mean, it's hard for us to conceive of some of the things that are done in the Muslim communities with regard to Sharia law. And the idea that, you know, if somebody took a package of gum from a 7-Eleven, that could cause his hand to be cut off. Or if a man and woman were caught in bed together and they weren't married, they would be stoned. You know, or whatever it is. But the point is, we do the same thing. Because we have to have some measure, we have to feel righteous about something. And that's the biggest danger that we have to guard against in terms of as a community, because there's always something that that's going to make you feel superior. And I apologize if what I said made me feel superior from the gays. That had nothing to do with what I was talking about. I don't. But this is where this trespass and sin come really into focus, and these kinds of things that we do automatically, like even in the discussion about it, we separate and segregate the gays. Well, that's just crazy, and I just did it. All right, let's go to Romans 5.
I don't want to move too fast. This is such a pregnant topic. Because it touches people in a place, because there are prejudices, and they've been blown up because of talk about it. Opinions gathered. I have a few myself.
No.
You think?
I do. But I'm anxious for this project. Enjoy working with these guys, and I can see if something happens, talking to them is one thing, but seeing through to their heart is another. And so this is kind of on my mind.
All right. Let's Romans 5. We're not speeding along. These are just the same scriptures. They're saying the same thing.
Okay.
Romans 3:10.
We were first in Romans.
10 through what?
No, we're first in Romans 3, verse.
Did we finish this?
We finished Romans 3, and then we finished Romans 4. Now we're in Romans 5.
I'm losing track.
I must say one more thing. I'm so glad what you mentioned at first, that this stuff isn't agreed to and we just keep moving, then you're stuck back before we even started, and there's got to be no understanding because you never agreed to this in the first place. Yeah. I mean, that's incredibly important.
Right. No, I mean, it's the Seder should be made up of people who know that they can't be righteous.
Yeah. I mean, even when I talked to you about speeding along, it was like I had an opinion, but you were speeding along. And that was my opinion. You know, and it's like it just slipped out real quiet, but you caught it, you know, and you addressed it. And when you address it, I realized, yeah, I had a little opinion. And I could repent, just turn from that. But without the call out, I wouldn't have.
Well, that's why, again, we are to exhort one another while it is still called today. Now, it's so easy to make a judgment in yourself, internally. And then what happens? And you don't say anything, so what your judgment is never tested. And what will happen is you will respond to that other person based on your assumption that person is guilty of what you... So you've automatically elevated yourself above them.
As long as you don't talk about it, you can hold that opinion.
And you're above them.
That's right.
And a servant can't be above anyone. And we need each other for that. Because that's why there is community. That's why we are exhorted to exhort.
Yeah.
All right. Romans 5, starting verse... let's start in verse 8. Or verse 7, excuse me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, or instead of us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved by his life. That's a biggie. But you can't be saved by his life as long as your life is in the picture. Amen? Then we know we've fallen away from that. Well, anyway, watch.
I don't know where we are.
Now we're in Romans 5. Now we're in verse... Okay. We just read verse 19. Or verse 10, excuse me. And now we'll read it again. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Does that mean we were enemies until we were reconciled by his
life? We were enemies until we died. All right, let's continue. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or the reconciliation. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed, is not imputed where there is no law. That's hard for us to conceive of. If we don't agree as a community that the law is good and only he can fulfill it, then if we see ourselves resurrecting ourselves, if we don't exhort one another, then we are letting that person die. Now, the exhortation is never pleasant. Rebuke is even more pleasant than exhortation. What? You have a secret smile on your face. All right. One more in verse Romans 5.
I think true exhortation is not difficult to receive because of the laying alongside the person. It's not pointing down into their spot.
In Romans 5, let's go to verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Now, do you understand it? Let's go to Romans 15. I mean, no, not Romans 15, 1 Corinthians 15. What? Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Now, we have the first Adam. Adam just means a human race. And we have the last Adam. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. And I say this forever. If he was the last Adam, who are you? And what are you? Does that bother anybody? Right there.
What does Adam mean?
Of the blood. Adama. That's why Jesus Christ had to be born from a virgin.
That makes more sense to me now.
He had to be
born. Earth instead of blood.
No, Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin so that the blood now is of the Father, not of, and that's the blood. The blood type comes from the Father in reproduction. That's why the blood, and when you take communion, that's why the blood is so incredibly important.
It's
the last Adam. Who are you? This is either true or it's not. Jesus was the last member of the human race. All men died in him and with him. So what we have been, the human race, there has been the evil one, has been masquerading as you your whole life. And until you know that, you cannot accept your death.
So the first Adam is without spirit.
It says that he breathed and he became a living soul.
And that was all fine. But then the test.
And the test, Madam failed. God's grace went through every possible situation. And the man failed. And even at the last, when Jesus breathed on the disciples after his resurrection, he said, well, we're going to go use this to be better fishermen. So everything failed. That's why his own seed has gotten him the victory. And his own blood has gotten him the victory. No longer us. We're out of the picture. But until you see that, this is just another philosophy. Until you see your death. That means all of you. That means all of the things that you think are right in your opinions. Your genetic history is gone. There's no more past. There's no more future. There's only the eternal now.
I just had a big thought.
God help us.
It's almost as if this morning is the whole reason God started up in the first place. That he did everything he did so that he could come to this moment of seeing just what the point is. And the point is accepting your death. Because you couldn't be corrected no matter what he did. We can't be fixed. So we accept our death.
You understand that? This is what I've been saying for 40 years.
Did you hear what I was saying? Did you get it?
No, you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
And if it's this morning when it happens, so be it. But this has to be, there has to be a dividing, there has to be, in a legal terms, there's a bright shining light that separates you from your past and you in him. And it's not subtle anymore. It's not. The subtlety of Satan has lost his power because you've accepted your death. The strong man was overcome, and so now God is overcoming him in your house, his minion. In his, now the house is being, the temple is being returned to its rightful owner. There's been this masquerade going on. You've invented yourself. Nobody understands that. No matter how many times I say it, you cannot believe that you've invented yourself. He has invented you. And he gave you the illusion that you are you. It's all been an act. It's meaningless. I mean, the only analogy that I've ever been able to make that makes this come to life is like God, the time and space is the birth canal to the New Jerusalem. In the human race, the best it can be is a seed, a sperm cell. And we have all these jillion, billions of sperm cells that have run around and they've stopped. They've just gone up the birth canal, the canal a little ways, and they've stopped and built a city. They built a country. But the only thing is that the only that God sees is the one that joined to the egg, lost its identity in the new egg, in the new Jerusalem. That's what it means to be born from above. Otherwise, you're just down here in this time and space, you're trying to build a city down up the canal. You're just one of these sperm cells, the jillions of them that never make it. Every time a male ejaculates, somewhere between 50 and 150 million sperm cells. They all swim up the channel. And the only one you have ever had any... The only one you have ever had any even awareness of, whether it was one that became a child. The same is true with God. A man hates this. There's no way that you can admit to yourself that you've invented yourself. There's no way that you can possibly conceive that all these little dealies, you're just going up and you're just one of the jillions of sperm cells that didn't make it to the egg. Without that understanding, there can be no community. And there can be no understanding of this sin offering, because you really don't believe, you believe that there's some part of you that's righteous. I just looked at we didn't start till 22. All right, well, that's can everybody accept what I said this morning about the sperm cell? Yeah. Then why in the hell are you giving any importance to this stupid sperm cell? Yeah.
I have odd transition thought. I was thinking about my weakness and how I had created myself. And I remember the points when I started it. You know, I was so weak I had to do something, so I become an athlete. And then I get out of that, and I'm so weak in personality and thought that I work to do something for that. And it's like continually overcoming weakness in my life. And I thought, well, how did this sperm cell ever get past all those other guys? The competition must have been bad or something like that.
No, the thing was, the only thing that's necessary is you admit you've been building bricks without straw. But that started at the moment of your self-awareness. We can remember a few of the instances, but the moment of our self-awareness is when the inventing of you begins.
To protect.
So he doesn't have to dig in the wall. He doesn't have to go down those steps into the attic to see who he really is. I used to make Harry crazy because he loved horror movies. And I said, the reason they'll scare you is you see what's going on in your subconscious. That's the only reason they have any impact in anybody. It's because they have some touch of reality. All these things about these I saw an ad for it. These things that cars crash into each other and then some kind of a being is made. Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, that's a perfect metaphor. All right, anyway, we'll continue on this. We're going to continue on this until we get it right.
Get it right.
Take a big guy.
Get her done.
Get her done.